Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Please refer to the inserts in your bulletin for activity scheduled this coming week and next Sunday. This afternoon, on our 3:30 class, Pastor Tomlinson will be discussing how can Jesus enter the door and be the door at the same time. Our scripture reading for this month is printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28:17. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. We will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns today. The first hymn is number 13, Praise Ye the Lord Almighty. Turn to the next hymn, number 381. Number 381 is All on the Law, is Your All on the Law to Laid.
Thank you.
please turn to hymn number 261, Trust and Obey, and please stand as we sing the first and last verse.
Let us pray together. Please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, the scripture clearly said, let them exalt him in the congregation. And Father, we want to exalt you today. We want to say how great thou art, a mighty and great God, who rescue us from the stubbornness and sinful life of each one of us, and brought us into the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now as we worship you in spirit and in truth, as we bring the heart to you, and as we sing praises, read your holy scripture, and as we proclaim your word and the counsel of your word, and it is entirely. We pray that today when we leave this place, we will be stronger Christians than when we came in. Thank you, Lord, for your hand of mercy in our congregation. And we pray on for Loretta Forrest, Dana Noriel, Tom Curley, for Jim and Mary West in Costa Rica, for Ann Peretto, for my wife Raquel. And Lord, we are thankful and pray for the protection of the firefighters right here in Morgan Hill, San Martin, and Gilroy. It is an immense area with fire, and from our house we can smell all the things that comes from the fire, and those people are right there. And because of them, we have our homes today, Father. So thank you, Lord, for this wonderful service that these people gave to these cities. Father, we have missionaries in our church, and we always we pray for them, from Fred and Carol Lewis in Los Angeles, for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. And we are thankful, Lord, that Brother Knott is much better, as he is scheduled to be in our church in October the 13th. Father, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez, for David and Denise Rode, as Brother David and Denise will be here on the 21st of October. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano, and Martha Ferretti in Argentina, Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquitos, and Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica. And Father, locally we have the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey as Daniel minister in this sport ministry. Thank you, Lord, that not only the word of God is preached and taught And the Council of God is trying to reach the people here in Morning Hill, San Martin, Gilroy, San Jose, but also through the airwaves of KKMC, who comes way from Salinas all the way to San Jose and Hawaii 5. And Father, also through the internet, who reaches places we have no idea across the world. And then through the tape and CD ministry, and through these men and women who are our missionaries, an extension of our church. Thank you, Father, that you allow us to proclaim the only truth the world will know, that Jesus Christ hath come, died for our sins, and rose again, and that believing in him, we have eternal life. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we still have the opportunity to do so. Father, as I close the prayer, I praise your name for the life of Gene Kennedy, the pastor, and Coral Ridge Ministry, as he was taken into your presence not too long ago. A man who served you, a man who taught America how to evangelize. So thank you, Father, for his life and for the impact of his books and for the wonderful church that he was able to minister to there in Florida. And now, Father, as we take the offering, bless the giver and bless the offering. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the epistle of the book of Esther. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 598. We will be reading the entire chapter. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Esther, chapter 4, the entire chapter. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went not into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithsoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in to the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, another neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. May the Lord add the blessing and to the reading and hearing of God's word. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have given us the privilege of worshiping you together this day. We thank you that we have had our pastor back with us today. May his message inspire us to carry forth your commission, which is to spread the gospel to all parts of the world, whether by radio, by internet, by tape or CD, or by just passing out Bibles locally as opportunity presents. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Brother Jack, and it's good to have you back with me in the pulpit. We started it that way 25 years ago, and so he's getting older, though. All right. I invite you again to open the scripture and the book of Esther in the Old Testament as we plan to study this book through. That's the best way to study the Bible. And then after this, Pastor will have a series of 10 sermons. I'm doing that now in the night, but I'm going to redoing this in the morning on basic and fundamental doctrines of our faith. Today we are on Esther chapter 4. And may I briefly remind you of what we study. We look first to the whole book of Esther and find out that the entire book, the word God and the word heaven and the word hell and things like that, there are no mention whatsoever. But within the book, we saw that invisible presence of God. What a book to teach us that God is active in our life, even though we cannot perceive him. On chapter 1, we talk about the uneventful and uneventful beginning and then incredible endings. Remember, every day you start like regular, but at the end of the day, one lady who was unknown to the entire kingdom, who was a peasant, who was just without father, was raised by her uncle, became selected to be queen of Persia. And I remember telling you the same thing happened to Moses, the same thing happened to the world when Jesus was born. Everybody went in his own way, but that day our Savior was born and changed the entire world. In chapter 2, this lady qualified to be queen, and she taught us 6 remarkable characteristics of strength and dignity as she stand in the court of the king. And chapter 3 was a sad chapter before I left for Oregon. I preached that. There was an uneventful interlude, an evil interlude, where one man planned to eliminate the entire nation of Israel. And I remember I went into the Old Testament and I show you that man, his inheritance was from Amalekai. And Amalekai stopped Moses to walk through the land. And Saul did not kill everybody that should kill and brought the seed into the place. And now is a time of revenge in the hands of Haman. And I'm going to give you a little briefing by reading the scripture for you so that you get the flavor of what's coming up in chapter 4. Let me read in chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, what was the end of that chapter. And the letters, these Haman has secured the king ring and sent letters to every province, 37 of them. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. On the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, to plunder their possessions. A copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan, the citadel. So the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. The king was ignorant of what really was taking place, and now he's relaxing. But the city, the people in the city, the Jewish people that was taken out of the captivity, they were born there in Assyria. And now They know what's happened. They know. Imagine, it's like saying on the 13th of December, we kill all the Mexicans who are in America. Something like that. I'm not against Mexican. I don't want you to think that's the law that I propose for immigration. But I want to tell you, it's just something like that. On such a day, all the immigrants of that nation will be eliminated in our country. That's what happened. All right, that's the beginning of chapter 4. What's going to happen? It's sealed by the ring of the king. The king is ignorant of the consequences and is just drinking coffee. And oh, Henry and Shushan. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what is happening? Everything looks in controls in the hands of the devil. There are days like that, don't we? There are days in our life like that. When everything that we do looks as, where are we going to go? It happened to all of us, including this man, the pastor. So chapter 4 is a chapter of encouragement. And I hope when you leave this place, you leave with a strength that you can make a difference, not only in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your city, in the life of your community, and your work. You are important to God. Very important. So let's look on it. Let's look the background on chapter 4. There is a vivid expression of sorrow in verse 1. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. Now, maybe for us in America to wear sackcloth means nothing, but not for that time. I want you to look in the Bible in the book of Genesis in chapter 37. And that's where sackcloth starts. Chapter 37, verse 33 and verse 34. And so you know what to put ashes and sackcloth really mean. In Genesis 37, verse 33 and 34, the Bible said that Jacob recognized it and said, "It is my son tunic." Remember Joseph's tunic. "A wild beast had devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Remember the brothers had played that. Like, look at what Jacob did in verse 34. Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. So to put sackcloth and ashes in your head was a sign of sorrow, deep sorrow, a stress that you cannot control. So the chapter starts with one individual want the city to know that he is in sorrow and that something terrible is happening. Now, there is a vivid intention of the expression of the intent to communicate that sorrow. Look at verse 2. Go back to Esther, chapter 4 and verse 2. Look at what this man did. He went as far as the front of the king gate. The king gate is like the office of the Secretary of State, where the Secretary of State comes, the president gets his letters and so on. There was a communication office. All right? "For no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth." The king never wanted to see that there is sorrow. The king wants to see that the kingdom is okay. And he do not want to see anybody who is under stress. And this man, what a courage of Mordecai, dressed under his expressions of a stress in his life, he moves on and he goes into the king's office so the entire palace can know that this man is under stress, which was against the law. Verse 3, there was a vivid expression of widespread sorrow. Look at verse 3. "And in every province where the king's command and decrees arrived, there was a great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes." And I don't blame them. There was a consciousness of the sorrow that could happen. was a consciousness that they were, something is going to happen and we have no control on it. If you're in the hospital and the doctor comes and look to you, he said, well, we're going to do this, 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 and you'll be okay. You are under a little stress, but you know things are going to work out. It's different to be in the hospital when the doctor comes to you, and maybe more than one doctor or two or three, and they sit down with you and say, well, you know, we see these reactions to it, but we don't know what to do yet. Boy, you're supposed to worry about that. All right? So here's what happened. The people said, what are we going to do? We got no power. We got no army. We got no resources. The king is far away from us. And we're going to die. On the last month, on the 13th, we're all going to die. So they've expressed their sorrow. Verse 4 revealed this to me. There is ignorance of the events on the part of Esther. Esther was a Jew, remember? She had not revealed that to the king yet. But there was ignorance on her part. Look at verse 4. So Esther's maids and eunuchs, eunuchs are the officers of the king, came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. You know what they told her? Said, Mordecai, your uncle, they knew there was her uncle, he is going to the Secretary of State office in sackcloth. He's going to die. Now, she did not pick up any harm. She said, oh, he's going crazy. Look at what he said. He was deeply distressed. She said, what's happening? Why is this mourning? And then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he will not accept them. There is a lack of communication. She wanted to do good. Mordecai wanted to do good. But she doesn't know what really happened. Now, lack of communication will destroy a home. Lack of communication will destroy your life. If you say, well, God doesn't exist, how do you know? Have you read the Bible? No, I didn't. Well, then, see, there is a lack of communication. There is a lack of communication. All right? When we die, say one man to me, we all disappear. That's a lack of communication. That's not what the Bible said. We're going to be judged. Is that right? And we're going to be judged for good. And no lawyer will stand with you except one lawyer, as 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 said, that my advocate, Jesus. So be careful. Don't make statements without communicating. All right? There's a lack of communication. And verse 5 to 8, there is a true investigation then on the matter. I'll read it again for you. Look at verse 5 to 8. Now, because of what Mordecai rejected, this is the first time that Mordecai contradicts Esther, now the wife of King Ahasuerus. You know, look at what happened. Verse 5. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's officers, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. Ladies and gentlemen, when you said there is no God, have you investigated if he's God or no God? This woman, even though she was one of the peasant, she had the wisdom of God. She investigated. Why is this happening? I want to be informed. I want all the documentations in front of me. Now, that's what you need to do when you have doubts about God. We have a full declaration of God right here. It's called the Bible. And you can sit down in your home and read it the whole day and find exactly what God said. Don't ever say, oh, this is wrong, without having the proof thereof in your hand. So let's see what the proof was. Verse 6. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasure to destroy the Jew. Wow, this is important. She was informed then of the consequences of what's happening. Verse 8, he also gave him a copy of the written decree of the destruction. Now she have an official document. An official document. For Christians, we have an official document. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and die without Jesus in your heart, you will be spent your eternity in hell. An official document. It's not my invention. It's not the thing of Christianity. It's an official document. Official document. Right here. He also gave a copy of the written decree of their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king's to make supplications to him and plead before him for her people. She said, now tell the king, she is the only one who can God use to save us at this moment. Mordecai is seeing the situation like human, all right? And he said, who is in the high power to talk to the king? Esther. So please, go and tell Esther what to do. Now, Mordecai is also ignorant of certain marital laws in the Old Testament. And a woman cannot interrupt a husband. You die if you interrupt your husband. So Mordecai must be a single fellow. And he doesn't know what happened in the palace. And so he said, now the urgency is this. The only person that could do something at this time is her. And why don't give her the opportunity to serve the Lord in this fashion? All right? There is a but. Oh yeah, we can do that, but there is something. Let me read the but for you. Verses 9 to 12. So you have the background, because the heart of the whole chapter is simple. But you need to have a background to understand. So Mordecai said to her niece, "Say you need to do this." And she said, yeah, but Mordecai, do you know this? Let me show you. Verse 9. So Hadash returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hadash and gave him a command from Mordecai. The word command is a little bit stronger. It gave him information to Mordecai. Here's the information that Esther released to him. Verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. Now, I want to inform you, Mordecai, if I take a stand for God, there is a risk. Did that sound familiar to all of us? If I take a stand for God, there is a risk. Let me show you. You are an Esther. There was another man who I'm very familiar with, Nehemiah. In chapter 6, he just got half of the wall done, and he is really doing a remarkable work. And if you go with me to Nehemiah chapter 6, you will see what really happened. Look at in verse 10. Nehemiah is the book prior to Esther, so it's easy to find. The Bible said in chapter 6, verse 10, afterward I came to the house of Shemaniah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Methathabel, who was a secret informer, and said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. Nehemiah, I have a secret. Now, these fellow have come, led by God, into Jerusalem, collect the people together. Chapter 3, respect every family's place, redesign the city, build the walls of Jerusalem halfway, and when you are leaving in a marvelous way for God, here comes the enemy saying, now, you need to know this. They're going to finish with you. Now, look at the answer to this fellow in verse 11. And I said, should a man as I flee, and who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Now the enemy is always like that. Well, don't give to the kingdom of God, because if you give money to the kingdom of God, maybe you don't have money in 20 years. It's very typical of Satan speaking to you. Look at what happened to Paul. Go with me to the book of Acts in chapter 21. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Okay? And Acts chapter 21. You remember this was the moment that he was saying goodbye to the church of Ephesus. In Acts 21, Paul wanted to do something. Verse 12. He wanted to go back to Jerusalem. And look at what they said to him. Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place plead with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Please don't go to Jerusalem, they're going to hurt you. And Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. You see, it is a remarkable lesson in Esther. Going back to Esther chapter 4, verse 9 to 12, there is an impasse, there is a bad, and always there will be a bad in our life. And if you don't have God as fresh as can be, then you can be caught on it. There is a bad. Yeah, if I do this, then what's going to happen to me? There is always a dependency on ourselves rather than on God. If we do what God said, then God is going to do what he said today, tomorrow, and until I die. But there is that part of my humanity, the flesh, the old nature, whatever you want to call it. They're trying to preserve me from blind follow the Lord. Blind follow the Lord. I remember the first time I gave the tithe was not willingly. Was not willingly. I remember afresh. I started playing soccer, playing a big team, catch a penalty kick, was on the radio. The prize was $10,000. 1954, Boca Juniors. Put the money in the pocket, went home. My cousin came in. So we checked the offering Sunday, and we don't saw $1,000 extra. So what happened? I said, you know, I don't know. I was a guilty party. He was the son of my uncle who was the pastor of the church. He grabbed me like this because I always wear tie, even to the soccer field. I went like that. Like, grab me like that. Say, you don't give the tithe, God's going to kill you. So I was afraid, 18 years old. I hope the treasurer don't do that to you. And so I said, well, all right. You know? All right. You mean $1,000? Well, what is one-tenth of $10,000? $1,000. And I learned that God's going to take care of me tomorrow. And God's going to take care of me the last day. I came to this country with $400 in my pocket because the government do not allow anybody to take the money out of the country. And I work in this country. And God provided for me. God. 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 And here is what Mordecai is trying to press on Esther. Esther, this is your responsibility. But Esther is like you and me. You say, yeah, yeah, but if I do that, you know, I maybe die. And oh, if I give this money to the Lord, I maybe don't have tomorrow. Oh, if I obey the Lord, then my neighbors will not like it if I witness. Who knows what is your situation? But Satan tried to limit you and what you can do. All right? Now comes the sermon. The heart of the sermon. It's only in two verses, 13 and 14. Here is the heart of the matter. First, what Esther will do. She got the news. You need to talk. What is she going to do? Now, this is good counsel for us. Verse 13. First, think and pray. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. First, think. What is this problem that I'm having here, what this has to do with me and the kingdom of God. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you are in the kingdom of God. You are not at the mercy of the market in the United States. You are not at the mercy of whatever the president sign or no sign. You are in the kingdom of God. We lost that, you know. We read so many newspapers, we watch so many news on the TV, and we lost the real truth that God is in control of our life and in this country and in the whole world, and that God is moving the world to a point that will disappear so that we can be forever in the kingdom of God and in the New Jerusalem. We are so dominated by the American culture, like the Arabs are dominated by the Muslims and their culture, that we forgot that we belong to the kingdom of God. Think! She said, Mordecai, think! If they kill all the Jews, they're going to kill you too. Be very careful. Don't think you will escape the problem. If you deal with the problem in a natural way, you will not escape. If you want to reach God in your own, you will never make it. I was taught in my culture of my country that you give things to the Lord so you get closer to the Lord. And you know, Satan is a masterpiece. He had created so many religions where you can do something to reach God that blocks the idea that God said, I'm looking for you. That's Genesis chapter 3. God was looking for Adam. And he's still looking for his people. So think. Don't take any decision before you think. The time don't let me. I have scriptures to show you. But if you read in your home, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, before Nehemiah started the word, he thought. He stopped 3 days and started thinking. What will God will do here? So first thing. Second, here's what it is. God is not limited to you and me. Look at in verse 14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jew from another place. See, if you are silent, don't think that God lost. Don't think that God cannot do anything. God will use somebody else. Is not something? You think, if I don't do this, what happened to God? Well, if you don't do this, you will not be blessed, but somebody else will be blessed. God is not limited to Pastor Otero. It's not limited to Pastor Thompson. God's not limited to a man. God is God, ladies and gentlemen. We are just being used as servants, as tools. I told you 100 times, a pastor is a servant to help you, to teach you the word and to counsel you, put my shoulder with you and raise you up as you walk with God. And you can call me anytime, any hour. I'm yours. I'm your servant in the name of God. And if I don't do it, somebody else will do it. God is no shorter. All right? I like that. Thirdly, could it be that this explains why you have been chosen as queen? Could it be that remember the day that you went, Esther, and you get water for me, and we sit in the old table in our old home? Could it be that day that somebody came in and took you for election, and you were elected queen? Could it be that God saw you, that you have a good heart to stand for him? Could it be that these things that happened in your life was just all shaped up for one precise moment? Where are you going to stand? Look at verse 14 again. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time like this. Oh, I love it. Who knows? The day that we were eating that little meal that we have, and when the officer of the king saw you and said, that one, God used your beauty to preserve a nation. Man, who knows? You know, I think back in my life many times. I left my country, and my country went down, real down. My father died. The government lock the incomes of the company, and I was in charge to support my mother and my brother. And I still support my brother because he's stupid. But I never took it as a load. Soccer player, graduated from the school of police, and he spent all his money in no in drugs, but in women's and things like that. Now he came to his senses. He had nothing. So asked his brother, I had to pay from here his rent. There's nothing. God brought me here for a reason. I brought more than 37 people legally into the country. I don't believe in illegal immigration. Legally into the country. And some of them I had to carry for 6 months with me. And I showed them. I gave them cars. I gave things. And show them how to make it. But first, you need to focus on God. In God. And so who knows, God have you here in America for a reason. You're important to God. Very important. So the heart of the matter is, Esther, either you act or God will choose somebody else. Don't think you are very important anyway. But God has given you this opportunity to stand for him. Now let's see how she get personal involvement. If you get a challenge like that, how do you get involved? Now you are in the hot seat. How you do it? Okay, let's see it. Verse 15, the couriers, chapter 4, verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. And this is what she is going to do. Number one, I'm going to pray. First, I'm going to pray. Look at this. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. I am going to pray. Now, to fast in the Old Testament is a picture of prayer. You are in Esther. Please move your hand to the book in the back, Nehemiah, in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, in verse 4, so that you know what fast really is. Nehemiah chapter 1, in verse 4. Nehemiah got the news, Jerusalem is destroyed, everything is on fire, nothing is left. And look at what happened, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and what? I'm praying before God. So fasting is associated with prayer. So we go back to Esther chapter 4, and verse 16 says, gather all the Jews in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maid and I will do the same thing. We're going to reserve 3 days to pray. Now, if you tell this to anybody, say, you're crazy. But God said, you have to make a decision. 3 days. We were dating long time ago. Dating. And she came from a strong Christian family, my wife. I never met my wife alone when I was dating. I always was in the company of somebody because I want to honor her that nobody will say anything about it. And, you know, the Spanish people talk. Oh, I saw this boy with it. I don't want my father to know he killed me. I don't want her family to think I'm a crook. You know what we did to be sure that we had a marriage? We pray for 30 days and say, I don't see you. You don't see me. And we pray at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we did. And then we meet and see what God has told you. Open your Bible and I open my Bible and see what God has told you. It has helped us a lot. Because and through all the difficulties that marriage has, we know we are one because of that. And so that's what Esther did. She said, I want to pray. Before I do this, I want to know for sure that I have the strength of God. Don't do anything without prayer, my brother and my sister. Don't do anything without prayer. Don't do anything without prayer. Jesus went to the cross. What did he do the night before? You remember? He went to the garden and prayed. And blood came from his eyes. All right? Second, verse 16. Look at what she said. Neither eat nor drink, nor 3 days. My maid and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. Second, I will go. And if I perish, I perish. Wow, wait a minute. Is this the same Esther that wrote verses 11 to 13? She was very cautious. She was saying, wait a minute, you know, if you do this, wait a minute, you know, here's this and this. And now she's free. She's relaxed. She's peaceful without any drugs, without Vicodin. She did it. Isn't that amazing? She got into distress. She prayed. And she said, if this is what I have to do, I do it. I stand here. Tell Mordecai. Now, did Mordecai knew Esther? You will know by verse 17. Look at here. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. So we're going to pray. Mordecai said, it is done. It is done. It is done. Remind me, Jesus on the cross. It is finished. It is finished. I'm on the cross. I'm hanging. I'm dying. But God, it is finished. It's done. My people can be saved. Your people can be saved because I'm willing to do it. Now, listen, what a lesson. What a lesson. One person can make the difference. Joseph did it. Moses did it. Joshua did it. David did it. Jesus did it. And you too. But Pastor, what do I have to do? If you go in your Bible to James chapter 1, James almost at the end of the New Testament, and in chapter 1 and in verse 22, you find the answer of how can you make the difference in this world. You find the answer. And here is what the scripture says in James 1 and in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and no hearers only. Mark that verse. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Doers of the word. Don't do what the word said. How am I going to do what the word said? You have to read it. You have to read it. Read every day. One book of Proverbs, five Psalms. And 1 month you finish Proverbs and you finish Psalm. Next month you start all over again. One Proverbs, five Psalms. And this word is going to go through you. And when a tough circumstances come in your life, like came in the life of Esther, you will know what to do because you have the wisdom of God pressed into your brain. The people said, the economy of this country is terrible. Ask the millionaires. They say it's marvelous. I read it in the paper. A CEO who was making $340 million a year is making $800 million a year. I applied for that job quickly. But you know what I mean? It's depend. The economy is wrong. Depend where you are. If you have a job as a CEO, your economy is doing well. You have, my garbage collector got a raise, $76,000 a year. I talked to him and I get the information. In case I need a job. You're a garbage collector. I like it. I like to clean. So, you know what I mean? Come on. Don't panic. Trust in the Lord. Do you know the Lord? That's the problem. People sometimes know, oh, I was raised in Sunday school. That doesn't mean anything. Have you come to believe in the God of the Bible through the Lord Jesus Christ? Osama bin Laden said in his tape, and you have to hear it in Arab so clear. He said, until America knows Allah, America cannot be safe. Oh, I said, he's right. Until America knows Elohim, America cannot be safe. And the problem with America is that we have so many things except God. That's the problem. The guy is right, had the wrong God, but it's right. May God bless us that we turn to him with all our heart and mind, that we can make a difference in this world. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the great lesson today. Thank you for Esther. And thank you for your word who revealed to us what Jesus did. He never took in consideration what the enemy will do. He died for my sin. And Esther finally, after being encouraged by her uncle, she stood and she became successful. Lord, in a beautiful country like we have, oh God, give us trust in your word. In Jesus we pray, amen. You to stand for the benediction, and I also want to ask you to sit down after the benediction. I have a sensational news for you. All right, so let's pray together. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Please sit down.